And a warm welcome to evening service here at Christ Church Edinburgh and to our carol service. I'd like to give a particularly warm welcome to Jim and Megan, who are back with us this evening. Jim is going to be our preacher tonight, and he's going to be preaching later on in the service from John's Gospel in the first chapter. So Jim and Megan, it's great to see you. It's great to have you back in our midst, and we look forward, Jim, to your ministry a little later on. Notices, just to say that on Wednesday we meet for prayer here in the church hall at 7:30. And then next Sunday, which is also Christmas Eve, our service will be, evening service will be at a slightly later time. So it will be 6:30 rather than 6. Okay? Alright, so just, so you can turn up at 6, that's fine. But it won't begin until 6:30, so just to remind you of those things. Let me read as a call to worship some verses from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 2, where we read these words in verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people." Well, we're going to begin our service this evening by singing of that joy, "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." And there are four verses to this version, and we'll stand to sing.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let every singer sing, let every heart prepare its room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior. Men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. No more the sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground.
Let's pray together. Let's pray. God, our Father, we thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you that he has come into our broken and fallen world to lift the curse that is upon it and to restore us to a right relationship with you. We thank you that our Lord Jesus entered into the very depths of our human condition. We thank you for the way in which he clothed himself in our flesh and blood, not simply to experience our life, but indeed to redeem our lives. We thank you that he is the one who brings us joy, that he is the one who brings us hope, hope for a better world, a new heaven and earth in which righteousness dwells. We thank you that he brings hope for men and women like us, hope for sinners, hope in the face of death, the hope of eternal life. And we, Lord, we thank you that that is all found in Jesus, and as we put our trust and confidence in him. We thank you that he brings us freedom from the chains of sin. We thank you that he brings us freedom from the guilt that so often lies heavy upon our shoulders. We thank you that he brings to us a pardon, full and free, through his life and through his death on the cross and his resurrection. We thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you are the living God, are not simply with us, but we know that you are for us. For us in our brokenness and our sin and our fear and our anxiety. Lord, we thank you that through faith in Jesus Christ, we are made complete. We are made fit for your presence, and we are made more than conquerors. So Lord, bless us this evening as we gather to sing some well-known carols, as we gather to listen to your word and to be ministered by it. Lord, would you speak into our lives and into our circumstances and do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we're going to sing again. This time the carol is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. After this, Ray's going to come up and lead the next part of the service. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We'll stand. We'll stand.
Reading this evening comes from Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 through 7. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord, and may God add his rich blessing to this reading of his word. Shall we stand to worship God as we sing Psalm 18, The Lord Lives. Indeed, God with us, and you know what it is to be in hardship. You know what it is to suffer, and we thank you that we have a God who intercedes on behalf of us, knowing the difficulties with which we are faced. We think of those in our congregation this evening who cannot be with us through sickness and infirmity. We think of those who have suffered bereavement and loss, and at this time of year are in desperate pain. Father, we thank you that you can be with them in the midst of the difficulty that this time of year brings to many, many people. We ask that Jesus Christ, you would be with those who are suffering at this time. That you would draw close to them, that you would comfort them, O God, as only you can. For those who are bereaved, Lord, would you touch them? Would you encourage them? Would you comfort them? We are so grateful, Father, that you do not leave us nor forsake us. That Christ, you came to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank you so much that we can celebrate the birth of Christ. But that was the beginning of the road of salvation when Christ came to earth. Thank you that in every thing he did in his life, he fulfilled the prophecies that spoke of the Messiah. Thank you that when Christ came, he came not to be served, but to serve, and to be a ransom, a pleasing offering, a sacrifice that pleased your wrath against wickedness, Father God. Lord, we are so grateful. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for that blood shed on the cross, for whomsoever that should believe, that they should not perish, but that they should have everlasting life. Father, if there's those among us this evening, would you speak to their hearts? Those who do not know you, Lord, would you draw them to you? Those who know you and love you, would you encourage them and build them up in their faith? And all the more, Father God, as we see that day approaching, when Jesus, you will return. As we saw you go, so also shall you return. And so in faith and in hope, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Shall we stand and sing to God's glory, see in yonder manger low?
Second reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, and the opening verses of the Gospel, the prologue, John chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to 18, and that's page 886 if you're following in one of the church Bibles. So John's Gospel, the first chapter, reading from verse 1 to the end of verse 18. Let's hear and read together in God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Amen. And may God bless to us this reading from his word this evening. Well, we're going to sing again, this time the carol Still the Night. And then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite Jim to come and to bring God's word to us this evening. So we're going to stand and we'll sing the carol Still the Night. Pray together. God our Father, we thank you this evening that you are a God who delights to give. We thank you that you're a God who speaks and who communicates. And we thank you for all that you have given to us in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for all that you have revealed of him in the Scriptures. And Lord, as Jim comes to open your word this evening, we pray that by your grace and through your Holy Spirit, you would open our hearts and indeed our whole lives, that we might receive your word with gratitude and with joy, and that that word may bear fruit in our lives. So Lord, bless your servant as he speaks, and bless us and do us good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to see that I've been switched on in the back there. When we came here tonight, somebody said, welcome home, and we did feel as if it was like coming home. It's really nice to be back with you. To see so many Kent faces, as they say. Maybe some that aren't Kent to me, but it's good to see you too. Great to see you. We're here tonight at carol service of Thinking About Christmas. You know, our TVs, they present such an image of Christmas, don't they? You know, everybody's having big boozy parties or spending wonderful time with their friends. Having a wonderful time, so it seems. Or the films are all good, feel-good films, you know, Dickens and Christmas Carol, and we've got Scrooge the Miser comes out as Scrooge, the wonderful, generous chap who's learned to celebrate Christmas. And Cinderella marries her prince, rises from the ashes and marries the prince. Santa leaves gifts in every home. This is the show business vision of Christmas. But this evening, we're thinking about what really happened and what the true story is of Christmas. And it's better than the show business one, because the show business one invariably disappoints those who go in for boozy parties. Hands up, all those who go in for boozy parties. Oh, no hands go up. Good, I'm glad to see that. But those who do go in for boozy parties get hangovers. And the turkey gets burnt and the stress of Christmas. There's always something that disappoints a bit, isn't there? But behind the true story, which has been hidden behind the tinsel and the glitter, the real story doesn't disappoint. It doesn't disappoint. You know, why did God send the choir of angels to announce the birth of a baby in Bethlehem? Why did the wise men travel following this star? Why is the real Christmas message good news of great joy to all people? Now, in the passage we read together in John's Gospel, the Apostle John was setting out the themes of what he was going to deal with in his book. And his goal was that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in his name. And his opening words in this book, "In the beginning was the Word." Now this takes us right back to the creation. It echoes the first words in Genesis, where we read, "In the beginning God created." So here we have, "In the beginning was the Word." And we see how John is taking us right back. This isn't he isn't introducing a new story. He's showing how the story of the Old Testament carried on and is completed and fulfilled in Jesus. And we're going to look a little bit at this passage. Now, there's two Johns in this passage. There's the Apostle John who wrote the book, and there's John the Baptist. So, you know, you get the two names running into each other at times here, don't you? However, we'll cope with that, I'm sure. We're told several things here straight away in this book. In the beginning was the Word. Now the Word is going to be the central topic of the prologue here. The Word became flesh. And we're told several things. First of all, the Word is a person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. So the Word is a person. The Word is the creator of all things. All things were made through him. And the Word is indeed God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so you get in this passage a bit of the teaching of the Trinity. We get two parts of the Trinity, you know. You get the Word who was God, and yet who is beside God. And in the final verse that we read together, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Again, we get the Father and we get God beside him. So, the Word was God, the Word is a person, and the Word is the creator of all things. And then in verse 14, we get that wonderful verse, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word, the Creator, God, became a man and lived among us. You know, it may seem a strange name for a man, the Word. We use words to describe ourselves, and we know what somebody's thinking by their words. And so Jesus, the divine Word, showing us what God is like and teaching us. And John, he was very clear that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word, made flesh and living among us. He makes that very clear over the page, well, in my Bible, over the page, in a little bit later on in the first chapter, in verse 29, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And then he quotes that verse that John the Apostle has quoted earlier on. "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me." And then jumping down to verse 34. "And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." So we have Jesus, the Word, the living Word, the divine Word of God, and who became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's the whole story of Christmas, isn't it? Jesus coming as a baby into our world. Now, I want to mention three things this evening from this passage of John that make the Christmas message good tidings of great joy to all peoples. to us here, to all peoples. First of all, Jesus, the eternal Word, God, the Creator of all things. And he's come and lived among us. He's come among us and lived among us. Right? We've seen that already. The eternal God, the eternal Son of God, who is God from the beginning, who has made all things, he has become a man. Isn't that amazing? That's the wonder of Christmas. We sung the carol as they try and state it. Our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. Who can understand it? Eh? Who can understand it? Lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. Who can understand it? God become one of us. When the angel visited Joseph in the night, and he was confused what to do about Mary, because she was pregnant before they were married, and the angel told him not to worry, not to be concerned, because the child was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And he said to him, the child would be called Emmanuel, God with us, God with us, Emmanuel. Philippians 2 verse 6, we read, though he was in the form of God, that is Jesus, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Emmanuel, God with us. What a wonderful name, eh? God is one of us. A baby in a manger, a boy growing up, a man walking the dusty roads of Galilee, of Palestine, a man dying on a cross, God with us, God with us. A man rising from the dead and now seated in heaven. This is the wonder of the Christmas story, because that night in Bethlehem, that day in Bethlehem, is when all the Old Testament promises began to be fulfilled in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the wonder of the story. He laid his glory by. He wrapped him in our clay, unmarked by human eye. The latent Godhead lay. Infant of days, he here became and bore the mild Emmanuel's name. Just the wonder. The wonder of Christmas. Charles Wesley, in that hymn that we just sung, Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. The wonder of the Word, the eternal Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. But why? Why did he come? Why did he leave the glory of heaven, the King of glory? Why did he leave glory and come to earth and go through our life and as Ray prayed, experience the suffering and the tiredness and the hunger and the opposition of men and eventually death. Why did he do it? Well, he did it to save us, didn't he? He came to bring us into a new relationship with God. In verse 4 we read, in him was life and the life was the light of men. He's a giver of light, the giver of light. And that light shines in the darkness. But in verse 12, we also read, to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, So, here he comes. He's the bringer of life, the bringer of light. And he's the one who comes to give us a new birth. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. That's why he came. Now this raises a subject that sometimes people get confused about. You know, we can think that, well, God is the father of us all, isn't he? We're all children of God. Well, maybe not Hitler, you know, maybe leave him out, perhaps. But every decent person is. God is the father of us all. But if that was so, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come and to die, would he? In verse 44 of John chapter 8, Jesus was speaking to the people, and he didn't say, God's your father. He said, you're all children of the devil. He's your father, rather than children of God. And the scriptures tell us clearly we're all born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We're all sinners by birth and by choice, far from God. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. I'd like to read a couple of verses in Ephesians 2. If you've got your Bible there, open it up. At Ephesians 2, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. Find it. It's explaining this. Paul is explaining our situation in Christ and what Jesus has done. So Ephesians 2, 1 to 5. He says, speaking to the Ephesian church, he says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. And then a great but. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. See, this describes our situation. What does he say? We were dead. We were by nature children of wrath, sons of disobedience. But God made us alive in Christ. By grace are ye saved. You see, Jesus came to give us this second birth. And we need that because we're dead in trespasses and sins. And that's again why when the angel was speaking to Joseph in his confusion and telling him to go ahead and marry Mary, he said to Joseph that the baby who would be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. He would be a savior. A savior. Hark the glad sound. The savior comes. The savior promised long. Let every heart prepare a throne and every voice a song. He comes, the prisoners to release in Satan's bondage hells. Held, the gates of brass before him burst. The iron fetters yield. He comes, the broken heart to bind, the bleeding soul to cure, and with the treasures of his grace to enrich the humble poor. You know, the shadow of the cross lay across the manger in Bethlehem, because that's why he came. That's why he came. He came to die. The Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. So Jesus became a son of man that we might become sons and daughters of God. Verse 12 again. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So he came. He came to bring us into a new relationship with God. He came to save. That's the wonder. That's the good news of Christmas. And the third point I want to make is that Jesus, the Son of God, came to reveal God to us. He came to reveal God to us in a more full and complete way. You know, if we say, what is God like? What is God like? Verse 18 that we read together reminds us that we haven't seen God and we can't see God. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. We can't see God. So we can't describe him in any physical sense. And of course, God is a spirit, so we can't ever see God. But in this rather strange verse 18, where we read, no one has ever seen God, and then the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Here we're finding out that Jesus, he's the God at the Father's side. He has made him known. The NIV puts those words in there. It says, no one has ever seen God. God, the only Son who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. You see, Jesus, he came to make God known in a fuller way, to complete that revelation of God, as it were. So Jesus shows us God finally and ultimately. And he does it through becoming a real historical flesh and blood man. Hebrews 1, chapter 1. Explain it. It says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. That's what used to happen, he said. And then he says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the power of his word. Then after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand on the majesty on high. Isn't that amazing? The baby in Bethlehem, our God contracted to a span, the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, upholding the universe by the word of his power, and then by his death, making purification for sins. If we ask, what is God like? Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So, what is God like? We see Jesus reaching out to sinners. Zacchaeus, the corrupt tax collector. The woman taken in adultery, Jesus reaching out in compassion and forgiveness to them. We see Jesus weeping over Jerusalem because they would not repent, over the hardness of their hearts. We see him stilling the storm. We see him feeding the 5,000. We see him healing the sick and raising the dead. We see him weeping at Lazarus' tomb. We see him angry in the temple at people making money out of religion. We see him condemning the Pharisees for their corruption of the faith. We see him also warning that one day he will come back, and it will be a time of judgment. Warning, be ready, he said, for you don't know when that day will come. And that day will be a day of division, when the king will separate the sheep and the goats. And he will say to the sheep, welcome into my kingdom, you, my sheep, you, and you, the goats. He's going to say, go from me, I never knew you. This is what God is like, because this is what Jesus is like. But today, what is he like? Today he's like a shepherd who goes out into the hills to look for his lost sheep. And he hunts till he finds it. And then when he finds it, he carries it home, rejoicing. He's like a father welcoming back his wayward son. That's what he's like now. That day of judgment is yet ahead. This is the day of grace. This is the day of grace. This is the day when all who believe, those who believe in his name, become children of God. What good news this is, eh? What good news this is. If there's somebody here in this, Jesus is not your Savior. If he's not King in your heart, if you can't say, yes, my sins are forgiven because he died, then today seek him. Because today is a day of grace. And he came to save. He came to save. One day he will be the judge, and that will be the saddest thing in the world, won't it? That Jesus became a man at Bethlehem, that he lived, that he died, that he paid the price for our salvation, and those who reject him will stand before him, and it will be as if all that God did, and yet they will have missed him, they will have rejected him, and they will be under his judgment. So today is a day of grace. Today is a day when the Christmas message is a message of good news. If we come to Jesus and put your trust in his finished work on the cross, you'll be born of God and become a son or a daughter of Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus did all that just to save us. So, there are the three things. Jesus, the eternal Word. He's God, he's the creator of all things. He became a man to save us, and he lived among us. He came to save us, to bring us into a new relationship with God. And he came to complete the revelation of God and to show us what God is like. Tonight, we've sung those wonderful carols, and we're going to sing in a minute, "Oh, come all ye faithful." And we're going to praise him. And my prayer is that every one of us might know this Jesus as our Savior, this Emmanuel, that he might be really Emmanuel in your heart, God with you. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the wonder of the Christmas message. Good news. I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which will be is good news to all peoples. Good news to all the world. We thank you for that, Lord. Good news here in Edinburgh tonight. We thank you, Father. And we praise you. We praise you that the Word became flesh for us. And that Jesus, our Emmanuel, that you're with us tonight. He's with us tonight by his Spirit. With us to bless. With us to save. Father, bless your word to all our hearts tonight, we pray. Make it live. For those of us who know you, may our hearts rejoice because the Lord has come. And if there's somebody here who doesn't know you, may tonight be that night when they put their trust in King Jesus. We ask these things, Lord, in his name. Amen. We're going to stand again and sing, "O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." Let's stand and sing. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.